It's July 30, the year 2006, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Now, as I tell you all the time, and I just bring up little things that come to when I'm reading the Holy Scriptures, and I'm sure the more you read the Bible, it'll always happen to you. God keeps bringing you new revelations, new thoughts, different understandings depending on your current circumstances. You can't underestimate the reading of the Bible. To me, it's absolutely necessary to anybody who could read, you know. And if not, then at least let somebody read it to you, because the Word of God is everything to us, the Catholic interpretation of the Word of God, Amen. As always, because Protestants read the Bible too, and it doesn't know good. So, but that doesn't mean the Bible's bad. As I say many times, heretics pray the rosary, these charismatics, does that mean we shouldn't pray it? Or Protestants use the holy name of Jesus. Are we not allowed to use it because they usurp it? It's not, they don't own it. But the Bible is so valuable. Anyway, another thought came to me about, we're talking about apostate anti-Pope John the 23rd, optimism about the world. It was diabolical. And we're going to do a little bit of reading about in the catechism. We can even prove that this guy's infiltrated through what he's saying because he's not that stupid. Okay, because his basic thing is that modern man has evolved and become so good, but because of this evolution and his deeper understanding over the centuries, that he can now detect and condemn and live a whole good life all by himself, just by his own, searching his own heart and following his own instincts. He no longer needs a church to rule him, which means no longer needs God to rule him. He rules himself. So he says man is so good now, modern man, that he can come to all these things by themselves without the need of a church to rule or guide him or command him or direct him, or which means you really don't need God. That's really what he's saying. So in other words, this optimism is unfounded. It's unfounded in the light of everything he knew in the world around him. That's why he's a lying bastard. He's a lying bastard because in the world around him there was gross immorality at that period of time. There was multitudes of false religions. People were falling away from the faith, bad Catholics. He's not stupid. If men are so good and they can come to these revelations all on their own, how come they're not doing it? How come the world that he lived in was worse than any time that we've ever lived when everybody's worshiping false gods? Why is that? If they can't detect a false god, how are they going to come to the truth without the need of a church by themselves? So we can see what happens, what men do to themselves when they're by themselves. They go straight to the hell, and we know they're not really by themselves, because when a man pretends that he can do everything by himself, he's got the devil helping him. Yeah. So he's got an extra booster throwing him into hell. But that means he doesn't have God helping him. So this is a lie from a diabolical Judeo-Masonic infiltrator. His whole idea is to flatter mankind into believing that you're good, and most of important, that you no longer need the Holy Catholic Church. She's no longer going to rule and guide you. You can do this all on your own. Well, the point is, too, he's ignoring our Lord's verses, which our Lord said in Psalm 13, right? None is good, no, not one, no, not such as one is even good. And when our Lord said in Matthew 7:13, enter the narrow gate, for narrow is the gate and straight's the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Matthew 20:16, many are called, few are chosen. Luke 18:8.
When the Son of Man cometh again, did you find him?
Faith on earth. Do you think he find faith on earth? Yeah. So now he's also calling God a liar. Now that's the second part in which he lies. He lies because the evidence before him shows when people are abominations, they're living like pigs, and they're worshiping all false gods and false religions, yet he has the audacity to say that, and he's calling God a liar. Because throughout the scriptures, God is constantly telling us, most men are going to go to hell. So bad were the Jews when Moses was out in the desert up on the top of Mount Sinai, and they worshiped the golden calf, that God said, I'm going to kill every one of them and only preserve Moses and start the Jewish race from Moses forward. In other words, is he a stupid man? No, he was not a stupid man. He knew these things. That's a strong proof, again, as we say, he was an absolute 100%, probably a Jew even, a Talmudic Jewish, or at least a Masonic infiltrator, that hates Holy Mother Church. And his job was to do anything he could to flatter men away from the church, to tell them that you no longer need the Catholic Church, and she's no longer here to rule you, you can be good all on your own. Which flies in the face of common sense and all the facts before him. But it flies in the face of this verse what I'm reading today. In John 16:20, when you think about it, our Lord says, this is Jesus, he says, amen, amen, I say to you, that because he's telling the apostles, I got to go away. So let's start at verse 19. And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said to them, of this do you inquire among yourselves, because I said to you, a little while and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me. Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy when you his resurrection. He says, but the world shall rejoice. And what are they rejoicing at? His death. They murdered him. They hate him. They hate Jesus. Jesus, how many times did Jesus say, I pray not for the world, Lord, but for the people those gave me? He says, the world shall rejoice over me when I die. They're going to hand out gifts and presents. Oh, this guy was a bum. I hate him. I'm glad. Let's get rid of him. Jesus is saying the world's going to rejoice at his demise. But only a very few people are going to love Jesus. So here again, and how many times through the scriptures does Jesus tell us, St. John says the world is seated in wickedness, 1 John 5:19, and then Isaiah 24:5, Isaiah says the world is infected by the inhabitants thereof. Here again, when our Lord talks about the world, he means not the world itself, the physical world, but the people in the world, the system of the world, the evil, wicked people. And he's saying they will hate Jesus. Fact John the 23rd, he was an apostate. He knew this verse. And what is he telling the world? Oh, you can come to the truth all by you're all good. Man is so good today, he don't need anybody to tell him. He can come to all these conclusions all by himself. So what is he doing? He's saying Almighty God, man is Almighty God. A man can go all the way up to heaven and bring down the truth from God. He can hardly get a spaceship up into the air. He's going to go up to heaven and talk to God and come back and tell us what God said. How is man going to do this all by his itty-bitty self? And then when they get into the other heresy about the Holy Ghost comes and talks to us on the inside, right? If that's the truth, then how come you all disagree with one another?
Yeah, right.
We got a lying Holy Ghost here. But guess what, pal? God don't lie. So that's the devil. So he's got them going in, searching into their inner conscience and having them believe it's the Holy Ghost they're searching for when it's the lie. And logic proves them wrong. The five people get together and search a particular doctor and come to different conclusions, and each one says, I searched inside my soul and pulled out this experience from the Holy Ghost, and it's a totally different thing. Then we got a problem here. You guys ain't all right. This is not a very efficient way to search the truth. A scientist would tell you that in a laboratory, that this is stupid. And so this is what he's telling the people to do. This is just another one that, as much as I tell you as I read the Bible, I get different thoughts. Now, this one has a lot of stuff in it. You know, the fact that, don't worry, you're going to be sorrowful. When you see me raised again, boy, you're going to be happy. And when you see your reward, let them do what they want. But you don't realize that this is for your benefit. I need to do this so you can be redeemed. I need to do this so you can see what comes after and you can enter heaven. And then once you understand this, your joy is going to be complete. And even now, our Lord says, we have to sorrow to a certain degree on earth. And we have to be afraid even, because we can go to hell. But once, if you stay faithful to God and you are good, even then you're going to go trials. But be patient, because when you die, you'll go to heaven and your joy will be complete. But the other thing here, it's just that it's another good one. It's a biggie. Our Lord's saying, the world is going to rejoice when they murder me. The world. Here, we got everybody being good. Everyone's going to heaven. Okay, now we are briefly commentating on the gospel. I'm going to read here. What our Lord's saying here about that guy that was selling stuff for half price so he can be in good with his master, at least get some money back, he's not condoning the fact that you cheat people. What God is saying here, and Jesus is saying, and we say it a lot, we say it about the Jews, look how diligent those Jews are in robbing people even, and stealing people to put their propaganda in power. We're not condoning their crime. It's an abomination what they do. But Jesus is saying, boy, these guys are so zealous for evil, and you guys aren't zealous for good. How is it that I can have creatures on earth running around like busy bees working for evil to bring to worrying about their own behinds and their own cause, the convicted Muslims working for Islam, the convicted Talmudic Jews working for Talmudic Judaism, going out stealing, lying, cheating, robbing, killing, all bad sins. He's not saying that's good. But he's saying, look at all those things that those guys are doing to bring about their cause, and that's false cause. You, the children of the light, the children of the kingdom, the children of God, have no zeal for things that are good. How is it that you have, and you're the ones who are supposed to have the true zeal directed towards good and holy things? So he could almost say that at the same time, that if you're not having zeal for the good, then I got to start following you around and believe you have zeal for the bad. Either you're zealous for the bad things like these world people, or you're just totally religiously indifferent. That's mostly the case. Lukewarmness, or you're loving the world. So that's what God's saying. Look at this guy. Look at the Jew. Doesn't sleep 24 hours a day, keeping a monitor on everything we say so he can use it against us. Aren't we supposed to do that? Each one conducts the battle in which the weapons God has given us. And that means zeal. That means zeal. Total zeal. That means if I got attacked, I got to counteract this attack against my God, my religion, and my church, so I can help save souls and give glory to God. I must use whatever means God has given me and the weapons to do that. Here this is. He says, look at these other men out here. To save their own behinds are out there going to all lengths to do this, and you guys wouldn't even lift a finger to do anything for the true God. You know, nothing. You wouldn't even lift a finger of any zeal that'll cost you any convenience for the true God. Now, speaking of that, what we're talking about with these type of Catholics is, we always say they're called nominal Catholics. I mean, Catholic in name only, but they're not really Catholic. In their hearts, they are faithless. Be careful yourself not to associate with these people socially, and because you're doing it because it's a social thing and not that you're really trying to care for the souls. And then as soon as the people come in and the tribulations arise, as our Lord said in Luke 8, one of those verses there, the seed on the shallow ground, it shoots up real quick. We have them come in here, right? Oh, love, praise God, love God, I'm with you guys, I really believe you, I really believe you. Oh, what do I got to do? Oh, well, I don't think I can do that. Even a woman who's not used to wearing a dress. You got to wear dresses now from now on. Oh, I don't think I can do that. That one thing will kick her out. Because it's more than the dress. It's the spirit of rebellion in her. It's not just the dress. She wants to tell God what to do. And people are so used to that, you know. So unless you've got God working with you, you're not going to want to do these things. You're not even going to want to do them. You're not even going to desire to do them. But how do you get that desire? By prayer. By doing your daily duties and praying like a soldier. That's why that deadly thing, every time I pray, I got to be lifted up to third heavens. Yep. That is so diabolical, that will absolutely stop you praying as soon as you're not lifted up to the third heaven. And you never were lifted up to it, you thought you were. Maybe you got a little consolation or something. But God's not going to give a consolation to tantalate you to go the other way. These people fall away from prayer very quickly if they're not being consoled. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.